This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 on this remarkably hazy day. I thought the rain would have sorted that out, but it hasn't. Over the weekend, we received some sad news that Kofi Annan, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, had died at the age of 80. He passed away peacefully on Saturday after a short illness.
He was the 7th Secretary General of the UN and the first and only Black African to hold the post.
That's right.
And he served two terms in the UN's top post from 1997 until 2006, a very popular Secretary General, if I remember correctly. Here is some audio from his swearing in.
I, Kofi Annan,
solemnly swear,
to exercise in all loyalty,
discretion and conscience, the functions entrusted to me,
as Secretary General of the United Nations.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, his career saw many highs and lows. And in 2001, Annan and the UN were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The citation lauded him, the second UN Secretary General to have been given the prize, as someone who had brought new life to the organization. Here now is a clip from his award speech.
Peace must be sought above all because it is the condition for every member of the human family to live a life of dignity and security.
Yeah, that same year he was unanimously re-elected for a second term, but trouble was just around the corner.
A series of issues began. I think it's fair to say that trouble here is in reference to sort of worldwide, global,
world
geopolitical
issues.
Trouble.
Correct.
In 2003, you'll remember the US announced its intention to go to war in Iraq. America was then one of Annan's biggest supporters, and he was against it. And what the US did was they bypassed the UN, mm-hmm. they invaded Iraq, and this created tensions, understandably, between Annan and the US.
That's right. After that, he and his son were accused of being involved in the oil for food corruption scandal that led to some to call for his resignation, though he was later exonerated.
And then in 2007, after his resignation from the UN, he established the Kofi Annan Foundation, and he was still working all the way up to his last few months as the head of a commission seeking to resolve the Rohingya crisis in Burma.
Yeah, a lot of what made his life's work so special was how he brought strong moral convictions and thoughtful judgment and care to the UN, an institution that some would say had been in the doldrums at the time. Now, he projected himself and the UN as the world's conscious and moral arbiter, despite the inevitable conflicts that stained his record as a peacekeeper.
To have a better understanding of who Kofi Annan was and what his values were, we have Tunku Abdul Aziz Tunku Ibrahim with us on the line. He served as the UN Secretary General's special advisor from February 2006 right up until Kofi Annan's retirement the following year. And what he did in that time was he set up the UN Ethics Office. Tunku, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. How did you feel upon hearing the news of Kofi Annan's passing?
Well, naturally, I was, totally devastated because I had not heard that he was unwell. And therefore, it came as a total shock. Very sorry that he had to go at 80 when he was doing so much for the world, even in his retirement.
So tell me, Tunku, what made working with Kofi Annan so special? What was it about his work and his approach that set him apart?
Kofi Annan was a remarkable man. I mean, there could ever be only one Kofi Annan. He was special in the sense that he was very soft-spoken. He could never get excited. He could be extremely energetic. But he was, I think, one of the great traits of a great leader. He listened more than he spoke. And when he spoke, it really made a great impact. So Kofi Annan was concerned with the world at large, and that, of course, is to be expected from someone in his position. But, he was very sincere about his concerns for the well-being of the poor, the well-being of the marginalized, and particularly those in sub-Saharan Africa. he was concerned about world peace. And one of the problems that he faced was trying to get U.S. support, particularly because they were the largest donors, and the rest of U.N. members to support the peacekeeping programs, you know, in different parts of the world. And then the other thing which I found is that, you know, Kofi Annan, when we introduced the Declaration of Interests or Declaration of Assets regime in the UN, he as Secretary General was not required to submit his, you know, Declaration of Assets to me. And he you know, said to me, what should he do? I said, well, you know, you're not required to, but it would set an extremely good example if you were to subject yourself to the same discipline as the other senior members of your staff. And he submitted his declaration and so on. So I think that really shows the true measure of the man. He was not just talking about fighting corruption. He was prepared, you know, to be an active part of that process.
And do you have any memorable moments that you remember sharing with him?
The UN in 2006 had won the Special Environmental Prize worth something like $500,000 given by the ruler of Dubai, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Now, when he received his money, with every good intention in the world, he wanted to set up his foundation, the Kofi Annan Foundation, you know, with his wife's name in it, etc., to help women's education and agriculture involving women in sub-Saharan Africa. And of course, the media in America jumped up and down and said that, you know, how could he possibly do such a thing because that money was given to the UN, etc. And so, of course, I was asked for my response, and I said to him, now look, I think, you know, it wouldn't be right because this money is actually intended for UN purposes, and although your intentions are good, it's better not to pursue this. So he said, now what should he do with the money? And our advice to him was that because UN was so short of cash for its peacekeeping in Darfur, for example, then this money should be applied to that end. And he again agreed. So this is the kind of person who was happy to get the right kind of advice so that he would be seen, yes, to be doing the right thing. Now, the other memorable thing, on the 22nd of April 2006, he was invited back to his old college, yeah, in St. Paul, McAllister College in St. Paul in Minnesota, where he attended from 1959 to 1961, and I was there as well. He didn't know I was going to be there because I was there as part of the core round table to present him a prize. But he was invited there to be presented with a special prize by his old college. And the reception, I just couldn't believe what I saw.
Wow.
I mean, he was received as an old boy of the college, as a kind of visiting royalty. Flags everywhere, bands playing, and so on and so forth. But the important memory that I still carry is how this great man reached out to the very young in a way which, you know, you wouldn't expect that someone like him I would be able to do. And they simply loved him, you know, and I think it says a lot about the man. Now, of course, the other last point is 2007, he was invited by Kazana to deliver the inaugural Kazana Global Lecture.
Right.
And I was asked to receive him at the airport, and we had a ride together from the airport to his hotel, and then a long chat about various things. And sadly, it was the last time that I was with him. And he asked me, on the way, he said, if he had continued as Secretary General, would I have stayed? I said, I would have stayed if you had still been there. And he was a wonderful person, wonderful colleague, a wonderful boss to serve with and to serve under.
And how do you think Kofi Annan will be remembered, Tunku? What is his legacy?
Well, I think he'll be remembered for his moral courage to stand up for what he considered to be right. He was prepared to go against, you know, the might of the United States government over issues in Iraq and other places. So in other words, he brought new impetus to the United Nations organization that he took over, which was really, you know, kind of half aid organization, into something which was vibrant, something which was relevant, and something which one could look up to, because Kofi Annan was there to take the lead. And I think he will always be remembered for standing up for what was, in his view and in the views of any other people, to be the right thing to do.
Tunku, thank you so much again for your time. That was Tunku Abdulaziz Tunku Ibrahim, the former special advisor to Kofi Annan during his tenure as UN Secretary General. You know, Lynn, I think Tunku Abdulaziz was absolutely right in that from what I recall, I mean, I was in my mid-teens at the time when he was in office, and I remember the conversation being that the UN's a toothless tiger, it isn't really, it's pretty much a worthless organization, and Kofi Annan did a lot because I remember his face being everywhere.
He turned it around, I think.
Right? He put himself out there as the face of the UN, and that trust and charisma kind of did a lot to restore some kind of credibility to the organization.
No, I agree. I mean, when I was growing up and, you know, my understanding of the UN was colored by a lot of, I think, what Kofi Annan did, even if I didn't grow up, you know, and come to understand the role of the UN.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You know, during his tenure. But I think, I mean, both in terms of the actual work he did and the PR work, which is very important for an organization like the UN. I don't say that to disparage the work. I mean, I think it's incredibly important how people view what you do.
Exactly.
If nobody knows what you do, then no, you know, there's very little sort of diplomatic respect to be gained as well.
And I think that's key, right? He was a true diplomat in every sense of the word. And it's not an easy job, God knows. So here's a song that goes out to him. It's John Lennon, of course, with Imagine on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.